or is ever doing or ever will do. This specifically focuses on the power of the Holy Spirit through us, through the body of Christ, through the people of God. And so Paul here, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, lists out nine what I believe are categories of how the Holy Spirit moves through us, through you and through me. And so if you've never had the power of the Holy Spirit flow through you, then I invite you, open up your heart and say, God, use me. And you may think, well, I don't really feel worthy of that. I don't really feel like I'm up to par or whatever. Did you know you don't have to be worthy? In fact, did you know you can't in yourself be worthy of that? But God will use available vessels for His glory. If you can reduce the pride and you can reduce the self-seeking down and have some love in your heart to minister to other people, then God can use you by the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to have been a Christian for 20 years. You don't have to be really mature. You don't have to be good looking. You don't even have to be good smelling. Just give us a word from afar. Isn't that right? Just yell it across the room to us. But God will use you if your heart is right and you're available to Him. Okay, let's read together 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at the 7th verse. Let's read all together through verse 11. I'm reading from the New King James Version. So if you have a different translation, that's okay. But follow along on the screen so that we can all read the same words. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11, reading loudly and together. Let's read. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. In other words, as the Holy Spirit wills. The gifts or the manifestations of the Holy Spirit happen not as we desire, not just anytime you want to, you just say, let me get one going. No, the Holy Spirit initiates these things. But let me just remind you that I've said this. The Holy Spirit wants to initiate these things a whole lot more than we are even conscious of it, than we're available for it. So don't get the idea that, oh, every couple of months the Holy Spirit shows up and wants to do something. No, I believe that all of us could have the manifestation of the Holy Spirit every day in our lives, wherever we are. That's how powerful and that's how a loving God is, that He wants to minister constantly. How many of you remember in the ministry of Jesus, it wasn't just every couple of weeks that the power of the Holy Spirit moved. It was every day. In fact, multiple, many times a day, there were manifestations of the Spirit. Is that right? Well, isn't He the example? And He said, now you go and take My name and you begin to carry out My ministry and receive the Holy Spirit. So if He's the example and then the apostles are the example in the book of Acts, then you can understand and know that in our lives today, this very day, and tomorrow, Monday, and the next day, Tuesday, wherever you are, that the Holy Spirit wants to minister through you and wants to help people with power and manifestation through you. And so you need to be available every day. It wouldn't be a bad thing. In fact, it'd be a good thing every day to get up in the morning and say, Lord, I'm available to be used by You. Whatever the Holy Spirit wills to do through me, I'm available. You want to minister to somebody? God, I don't know how to help them, but You know how to help them. I'm available. Here's a willing heart and an available mouth and mind to minister for you. Now, you'll notice here we went through this list, beginning with the word of wisdom and ending with the interpretation of tongues. We studied the word of wisdom. We talked about the word of knowledge, and we studied discerning of spirits. And now I want to skip down to prophecy. And I just want to talk about one today, prophecy. And the reason is that for some reason, the Bible seems to put an emphasis on prophecy. Not only is prophecy discussed in the Bible more than anything else, you hear prophesying way back in the Old Testament, it happened all the time. But even here in the New Testament, particularly in this whole passage, chapters 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians, the Holy Spirit impressed and inspired Paul to put an emphasis on prophecy. And I want to show this to you. Let's look over at the 14th chapter now. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And Paul says this, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Let's stop right there for a minute. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. I'm going to come back to this phrase a little bit later, but I want to emphasize this desire spiritual gifts. Notice he doesn't say, take it or leave it. Notice he doesn't say, oh, you know, whatever, you know, just be a Christian, just go to church and just have the tag of being a Christian. Just know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Notice he commands here. It's not a suggestion. He says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. It's a command. And so God is saying to all Christians, you need to desire this. You can't just say, well, you know, I just prefer to go to a church that doesn't get all into that. How many of you know, according to the Word of God, that's not really an option for you. It's not an option for us, whether or not to have the Holy Spirit move through us. Now, I'm not saying you don't have the privilege to not allow the Holy Spirit to move through you. I'm just saying that according to the Word of God and God's will, you do not have the right as a Christian not to allow and desire the Holy Spirit to move through you. Here's a command here saying you need to want this. Now, why? Now, let me tell you, it's easy to not really want it because it can cause you to stretch out of your comfort zone and to say things and do things that you wouldn't normally do because you get put in a position where you could not look smart to people. You could look religious. You could look like a Jesus freak or like some spiritual person to people. If you begin to share with people and something that the Holy Spirit puts on your heart or do something that the Holy Spirit impresses you to do. Spiritual gifts are not for you. Let me say it a different way. Spiritual gifts flowing through your life are not supposed to flow through you for you. They're supposed to flow through you for other people. So the only reason you would desire for spiritual gifts to flow through you is a love for other people, unless it's a wrong desire, which is pride. I want people to see me. I want people to think I'm spiritual. Well, that's the wrong motive. God wants us to desire spiritual gifts because there are all kinds of people around us every day and every week that have needs that we don't understand, even though we think we do. We don't really understand why that need is there and what's going on in that person's heart, but the Holy Spirit does. And if the Holy Spirit can have an available vessel to minister to that person, He can get something to them and through them, through their head and through their heart, that we could never do. And so it's a labor of love to desire spiritual gifts and make yourself available because you're thinking about others. You're thinking, how can I help them? How can I be a blessing to them? The best way to be a blessing is to allow God to use you, to allow God to show you what to do and what to say. And so he says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. But notice the last part of verse 1. But especially that you may what? Prophesy. Notice here, Paul takes one out of the nine and says, I want you to especially desire to prophesy. Is that what he said? So Paul said, desire spiritual gifts, but especially desire. I know that we've talked before, and I've heard people say for many years that the best gift, the Bible says desire the best gift. The best gift is whatever gift is appropriate and effective at the time. And that's absolutely right. I agree with that. There's no question about it. But let's not discount the fact that the Holy Spirit said, but you in general, not thinking of a specific need, in general, I want you to desire the spiritual gifts to happen through you, and especially I want you to desire to prophesy. Well, that would tell us, since the Bible said it, that there's something special about prophecy. And maybe something about prophecy that can happen in more people and that the Lord wants to happen in more people than some of these other gifts. It seems to me that prophecy should and could happen in more of the body of Christ than maybe the working of miracles. Not that anybody that's Spirit-filled in the body of Christ couldn't operate with the working of miracles. Sure they could, because the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. But I'm just saying, according to the Word of God, it seems that the masses of Christians are encouraged to desire and to be a part of prophecy. Notice again, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Verse 4 says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Now, notice that Paul doesn't say don't speak with tongues, but he's clarifying something. When you speak in tongues or you speak in what we might call your heavenly language or your spiritual language, he said, who does Paul say we edify if we speak in a spiritual language? Ourselves. That's right. He says, but he who prophesies edifies who? The church. Or we could say it like this, others. Prophecy benefits others. Speaking with tongues benefits ourselves. And so Paul is discussing here how to, when we come together in a corporate setting, how we ought to function. And he's suggesting to us and declaring, really commanding us to consider the fact that when we come together, it's not about me. I don't come here for me. I can speak in tongues and pray with my spiritual language all week long, all the time. He's saying, but when you come into the church, if everybody's trying to edify themselves and we're spending the little precious time that we have together edifying self, then who's edifying other people? He says, tongues will edify you, prophecy will edify others. So he's suggesting that we spend more time in prophecy in a corporate setting or when you come together. It doesn't have to be in a church service. He's talking about whenever you come together with other believers. He would prefer you spend more time with prophecy than with tongues because that's the time that people need to hear from the Lord. Now notice verse 5. He says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Notice that last line, that the church may receive edification. So the context of what Paul is talking about is not just you at home. He's saying when you come together as a church, he said it's better to prophesy. Now, let me just point something out. We're talking about prophecy, but it comes up in this text here about tongues. Because I know that a lot of people still have questions about tongues. Many people have been taught different things about speaking with tongues. And you need to, maybe some of you would like to go back and listen to the original series that we did called Be Filled with the Spirit, because we talk quite a bit about the difference between your spiritual language of tongues and the manifestation of tongues, which is to happen in a corporate setting, which needs to be interpreted for anybody to get anything out of it, besides the person that spoke in tongues. Because he'd get edified just by what he said in tongues. But I want to point this out in verse 5. Paul, talking about when we come together, notice he starts off by saying, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Now, is that talking about, is Paul saying, well, I kind of would like it, but really, no, he didn't say, I kind of would like it, but really, he said, I wish you all spoke with tongues. But he's saying, but in a corporate setting, I would rather you prophesy. But listen, he did say, I wish you all spoke with tongues. And the context is in a corporate setting. So Paul absolutely, once again, we can see, is not forbidding the speaking with tongues when you're together with the corporate family. Paul is just saying it doesn't do other people as much good, though, when you speak with tongues as it does for you to speak prophetically, because when you speak a prophecy, you're speaking in the understood language. Can you see it again in the context? I mean, this is clear, but it's very easy for some people to take these scriptures and to make them say, we shouldn't do that anymore. See, the Bible is very clear. It shouldn't happen in church. And there are whole churches that just do that. Just say, no, the Bible is clear. It says that. It does not say that. It just says, and in the context of chapter 13, when you're walking in love, you're not coming to edify yourself. You're coming to be a blessing to other people. And tongues doesn't do that as much unless. Notice verse 5 again. Let's read it again. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues unless, notice there's an exception, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. And so Paul says here, if there is a tongue and then an interpretation by the Holy Spirit of that tongue, then tongues and interpretation come up to the level of prophecy because the interpretation was in the language that we can understand and it benefits us. So see, you notice here that he's not at all putting down tongues. He's just saying in a corporate setting, prophecy is more beneficial than tongues, except for the one individual that is speaking with tongues. That makes sense? And so we need to be sensitive and follow the command of God that when we come into a corporate setting, we're not only here for ourselves anymore. And I know we come to church to be fed, and a lot of people say, I need to get fed, I need. But we need to change that mindset, because a mature Christian comes to help and to feed and to minister to other people. And so whenever I hear somebody say, yeah, I left my church because I wasn't getting fed, I wonder, how much were you feeding? See, because what they said was, I'm there to receive, I'm there to get. And God says, no, that's not love. Love is there to give. And the Bible says, give, and what will happen? See, if you just eat, you're going to get full. And I don't care how much water you put on a sponge, once it's full, it's full. You can't soak up any more water than full. But if you'll take that sponge and squeeze it out, then it can fill up again. And that's what God is wanting to do with us, to fill up, but then to minister the Spirit, and then to receive the fullness once again. Thank God. Now, I want to come back to verse 3, because verse 3 tells us, I believe, the heart of what prophecy is all about. Verse 3 says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Let me tell you about these three words: edification, exhortation, and comfort. The word edification is the word oikodome. And oikodome means building and strengthening. So notice the first thing that God says prophecy is building you and strengthening you. When God speaks a prophetic word to you or through somebody else to you, if it's really a prophetic word from God, one of the things it's going to do is strengthen you. It's going to build you up. How many of you know we need building up, don't we? Man, we get torn down from other people, family members, sometimes in our own house, even from good, godly Christians in our own house. They don't realize that even the slightest things that they say, the devil can use that, and our minds can take it in such a way that it'll tear us down. But notice, prophecy builds us back up. Prophecy strengthens us. And so here's why you can see that God puts an emphasis on prophecy. Because prophecy builds. Prophecy strengthens. If you come in weak and you're down and discouraged, prophecy will strengthen you and build you back up and minister to you. And then the word exhortation. Exhortation is the Greek word paraklesis. We can recognize from the word paraklete, we can recognize from the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's one who comes alongside and helps. The word paraklesis means encouragement, relief, comfort, encouragement, and relief. How many of you know sometimes you're under stress and under pressure and you need some relief? Well, how do you spell relief? God spells it prophecy. A word from God. I mean, you're under stress, you're under pressure, and how many of you know God can say something to you that'll just relieve all of that stress and all that pressure? It just brings relief, comfort, encourages your heart. And you say, God really does know who I am. He really does care about me. He really is going to help me with this. This is part of what prophecy does. And then I love this last word, the word comfort. The Greek word for comfort is the word paramuthia. And it's a compound word, para and muthos. And para means near, come alongside or near. And muthos means speech. And so prophecy, when it says prophecy brings comfort to men, it means prophecy brings near speech. What does that mean? It's the picture of a dismayed, a frustrated child who is just overwhelmed with something that happens and their emotions are going wild. But the mother comes in and whispers something gently in his ear, and you can see all of the frustration dissolve. It melts away because she puts things in perspective and lets him know what's going to happen and lets him know how she feels, and the perspective, the landscape changes instantly in his mind because of what mom said. How many of you know that sometimes we're in a position in our life where we would love God just to lean in close and lean in near and to say something into our hearts? So let me tell you something. Let me share something with you that'll ease your mind and comfort you. See, that's what prophecy does. Prophecy is God, not a person. Let me remind you, manifestations of the Spirit are not manifestations of you. It's not based on your skill of communicating. It's not based on your knowledge of the person's situation. This is God wanting to say something with his understanding of what's going on in that person's life and his understanding of what he wants to happen. And so when you give a word of prophecy to somebody, it's not you telling them something that you want to say encouraging. Let me just remind you, manifestations of the Spirit are not just encouraging words from you to be nice to people. Manifestations of the Spirit are when the Holy Spirit is saying something and you're just being the vessel to communicate that. And so when you give a prophetic word, it's God leaning in on that person and saying things, speaking something into their heart and ears that will calm them and comfort them and let them know, I got you covered. How many of you know that's a good thing? That's a good thing. Now you can see why God says, but especially desire to prophesy. Because we need that. People need to hear from God. They need these words from God. Let me give you the definition. Do we have that definition, Lauren? Let me give you my definition of prophecy. There are many ways to talk about it. But here's what I believe it is. Prophecy is a supernatural and real-time message. Do you know what I mean by real-time? Real-time means this is not 2 months old. This is not something that I want to say today that 2 months ago it really made sense. But in light of what's going on today, it's kind of, no. God's not on the late freight. God's not behind the times. If God gives you a word of prophecy, let me tell you, it's in light of everything going on right now. And in fact, it's in light of everything that's going to happen. He still means it. And so it's a supernatural and real-time message from God to a person or people bringing edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Now let's look over at the 39th verse of chapter 14. All the way at the end of this chapter. And I want to show you how Paul closes out the chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39 says, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Notice he says, therefore, brethren, he closes out the chapter. And by the way, we didn't read all of the passages about prophecy that are in chapter 14. They're loaded. But he ends out the chapter saying, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Notice a second command, desire it. But this time he says, desire earnestly. Desire earnestly. And the Greek word for desire earnestly is zelao. And zelao means to be zealous for and passionately desire. To be zealous, to be excited and passionate about. Have you ever had something that you wanted? You wanted to buy it and you were passionate about it. You were looking for all the deals and you were checking the internet and you were looking for the prices and you kept going by the store and looking at it because you wanted it. And God says, I want you to do that about prophecy. I want you to pursue it. I want you to be passionate about prophecy. Why? Because it brings edification and exhortation and comfort to people. That's why. That's why. And so desire earnestly to prophesy. And notice this. And do not forbid to speak with tongues. Now, let me just point this out. When it says desire earnestly to prophesy, when you read that, and this is my Bible, it is God speaking to me, and the Bible says, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Who is it talking to? It's talking to you. And then he says, and, he's not done with the sentence, do not forbid to speak with tongues. Who is he talking to? You. He's saying, don't say that you won't do it. Why? Because God wants you to. That's why. And also, obviously, this says, don't tell other people not to do it. Still talking in the context of church. Don't forbid that to happen. Paul is just saying we need to walk in love. We need to be sensitive to other people. We need to be sensitive. When we spend time and we sing out, and sometimes David will say, sing in your heavenly language or sing in the Spirit, because we know many people in here are filled with the Spirit and have their spiritual language, that people do it. But let me tell you the heart of this, and we'll probably get to it in a few weeks as well. Walk in love. Every once in a while, you'll have somebody that'll just be speaking and singing in tongues so loud that it draws attention to themselves. Let me tell you, that's not sensitive. That's not sensitive. Who gets ministered to out of that? You do. But you're drawing attention to yourself, being insensitive, that there are still some people that don't understand that. Still some people, and let me tell you, the people that struggle with the most, it's not the people who don't understand it, but it's the people who have heard things negative about it and who have even been taught scripturally, and I say that in a loose way, scripturally, in other words, somebody took the Bible and used the Bible to say that you shouldn't do that in church. And so here's somebody that is doing it instead of just blending into the volume of the church. You don't have to do it at a real high volume to be ministered to and to minister to the Lord. Instead of blending in to be sensitive to other people, they want to do it loud. And because of that, there are certain people that don't understand, they misunderstand, they haven't been in on our teachings, they haven't studied the Word of God and understood that this is not a negative, bad thing. But people will leave and not even have an opportunity to be around a Spirit-filled church to study these things. And I'll tell you what, that's not the heart of God, is it? That's not the heart of God. That's an insensitivity on that Christian's part. Thank God they speak with tongues. Thank God they're filled with the Spirit. But that's insensitive of them to not be concerned about the people that come in that are uninformed, that don't know, or maybe that have been taught wrong. We need to walk in love. And so we as a church have embraced the approach that in those times we have time where we can sing out because we believe that the Bible's clear. It says in the 14th chapter there, it says, what's the result then? I'll pray with the Spirit. I'll also pray with the understanding. I'll sing with the Spirit. I'll also sing with the understanding. Clearly talking about it in a church setting. So we believe that, and therefore we do it. But that does not mean that we want to draw attention away from the Lord and people worshiping God to ourselves, because that would be insensitive and not walking in love. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Let me show you one more verse. Verse 9 of chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 9. Paul's obviously talking about love, but in verse 9 he says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. We know in part and we prophesy in part. What does that mean? That means that when you're ministering to somebody, nobody knows everything. You don't know everything going on. And he says, and when you prophesy, you're not prophesying everything. If I come to you and I am giving you a word of prophecy, or anybody else, that doesn't mean that that word of prophecy tells the whole story. How many of you are glad that when you receive a word of prophecy, God doesn't tell the whole story? Especially if people are standing around. Isn't that right? And tell why you're in that mess to begin with. Aren't you glad God leaves out a whole bunch? It's just not necessary to bring, God, I already know about all that. No need to bring that up in front of everybody. No, God, just bring up the stuff I need to know now. Lean in close, God, and comfort me. Bring relief. Right? There's no need to expose me. That doesn't bring edification and exhortation and comfort. No. See, so prophecy is in part. So you need to know, if you give or receive a prophecy, that's not the whole counsel of God on the situation. That's just something, one part of what God is saying. We still need to seek God. And I've said this before, I'm going to say it now, and I'll probably say it again before we finish this series. And that is that with any spiritual word from God, whether it's a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a prophecy, it doesn't make any difference. Remember, you are responsible before God to determine whether or not that's really God speaking to you. Just because somebody says, thus says the Lord, that does not mean that you're just to take it blindly and mindlessly and just to do whatever it said. I don't care how long they've been saved, how spiritual they are, how spiritual they look or come across. Doesn't make any difference. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. If you're born again, you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you, and it ought to bear witness with the Holy Spirit in you. And if you act on a prophetic word, it is your responsibility. Well, they told... No, you can't blame it on them. There have been people that have given me prophetic words and things, And it didn't jive with what the Holy Spirit was telling me to do. It didn't bear witness in my spirit. And so what do? I unless I know for a fact that that's not from God, I'll say, Lord, if there's something here, I'm definitely open to receive from you. But that's not what I've been sensing. I don't get a witness on this, so I'm going to shove it to the side and not worry about it. Don't let prophecy torment you. Some people have been tormented by a word that they got. Man, if it's not bearing witness in your heart, or if it confuses you and causes frustration, you set it aside. Don't worry about it. That's not the Word of God. That's not the Scriptures. It's a prophecy. And people miss it. Is that right? How many of you in here have missed it before? I just want to see how many liars we have in the house right now. Come on, keep your hand up. How many of you in here have missed it before? You thought you heard God saying something and found out it wasn't God. Yeah, we do have some liars, at least in appearance. Raise your hand. How many of you have missed it before? Come on. We just want to see how many honest people. Let me tell you, you get more credibility by being honest if you miss it, or if you think you may have missed it, than you do trying to be a person, I didn't miss it. I didn't. Then people won't trust you after a while because you don't even come clean when you did miss it. Hey, we miss it. And so when you receive a word, remember that the Holy Spirit's inside of you. He can talk to you. He can bear witness with you. And you need to be responsible to take that before the Lord, particularly if it doesn't bear witness. But a lot of times, if it's from God, as soon as it's given, you know that's God talking to me. It just clicks in, bears witness, and you're good to go. Thank God. But don't just take it and swallow it mindlessly. Always say, Lord, I just want to make sure this is you. I want to make sure, God. Now, let me share just a few things with you. Prophecy is all over the Bible. I mean, just it's filled with it. The whole Old Testament. In fact, listen to what Jesus said. In Matthew 11:12, Jesus said, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." But notice verse 13. "For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John." What does that mean? The prophets and the law, Jesus is referring to the whole Old Testament. Jesus said, the whole Old Testament. All it is people prophesying. In fact, which book of the Old Testament or the New Testament did God write without a human being? Any? Can you think of any? Can you think of any book that was not written by a human being, it was written by an angel? No. It's all human beings. And so when God speaks through a human being, what's that called? Prophecy. And so Jesus clarifies that here, the whole law and the prophets. They all prophesied. That was all prophecy. It was words coming from God, but it didn't come directly. It came through a human being. That's a prophetic, those are prophetic words. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 7 is where Jesus says, "Hypocrites, well or accurately did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" Notice he says, Isaiah prophesied accurately when he says, "These people draw near to me." Now, the "me" wasn't Isaiah, was it? No, he's talking about God. See, Isaiah's talking as if he's God. That's prophecy. "These people draw near to me." So when you're given a word of prophecy, you're not just going to be saying, and God told me this, and God, no, you're going to actually, you may start off by saying, you know, I feel like, or I sense that the Holy Spirit's saying, or that God's saying, but then when you get into saying it, it's going to sound like God saying it, because you're just giving the message as you heard it toward that person. And so that's what Isaiah did. But notice he says, Isaiah prophesied. And then John 14:24 is where Jesus said, "He who does not love me does not keep my words." And then notice this. "And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." So Jesus said, what I'm teaching and preaching you is not from me. It comes from Father. What does that mean? It's prophecy. So all that red you see in the Gospels, that's Jesus prophesying, speaking the words of God. That's prophesying. And so there's prophecy just all over the Bible, everywhere. And I've shared with you various prophecies. I shared with you about when I was sitting in church service and the assistant pastor's wife was there, and I just felt like God had something to say to her. And so I told her and she started crying. When you understand a little bit about these spiritual gifts, you'll realize they're not hard. It's not hard to do them. You don't have to like pump weights. You don't have to like psych up, because it's not your power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Just so natural. In fact, it seems to me like prophecy is one of the gifts in me personally that just seems to flow on a regular basis, particularly when I'm praying for somebody. If I begin to pray for somebody, So often, it seems like the Lord has something to say. So often. Now, not every time, but so often it seems like God's got something to say, that the Lord just wants to minister to that person. And so right in the middle of the prayer, if it seems appropriate, I'll just say, and you know what, I believe the Lord is saying this. And there it is, just comes out. I didn't rehearse it, wasn't a speech. I didn't think about, well, I'm going to be praying for that one person. What could I say to them that would really, no, that's not prophecy. That's just you encouraging them. That's not a bad thing either. But a manifestation of the Spirit, again, is not a manifestation of you. It's the Holy Spirit saying something. So you can't think hard enough about it or prepare good enough for it to happen. It's got to be the Holy Spirit doing it. Thank God. How many of you know we need prophecy? We do. We need prophecy. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray for you. I like this guy. This guy is a hard worker. Prayed for us. I mean, help came and helped us on the work day. Father, remind me of your name. Grant. Father, I thank you for Grant. He's a good man, and he's helped us a lot. Stretch your hand toward Grant, would you? Father, we bless you for this man of God. And Lord, I can see with my physical eyes that he loves you. He loves your word. He loves to worship you. And Father, I thank you for the anointing that's on his life. I thank you for the calling that you have for him. I thank you for the passion that you have for him and all that you've called him to do. Praise God. And Lord, I pray that all of the things that you've called him to do will come to pass in his life, that no obstacle will stand in his way, that there'll be no limit to what he's doing. Lord, the things that he's prayed about, the things that he has brought to you in the secret place that he doesn't talk about just all the time, different issues of his life. Lord, I thank you that you know those things and you understand those and you're responding to those things. And Grant, I believe the Lord wants to say to you, son, you've got a special place in my heart. There's something about you that brings me delight. There's a sensitivity about you. And I know you love me. And some of the things that you whisper and some of the things that you say to me, it blesses me every time. Every time. I pay attention to all of them, son. And I want to let you know that you and I are going to be spending some more close time together. Because I've got some things I want to whisper into your ears. I've got some things I want to show you. There are some things that I've put into you, some gifts and abilities, some graces that I've placed into you that are going to be tremendous blessings to people. And my spirit is going to flow through you in such a way that people will even want to be around you because of just the potential that the grace and the love of God might flow to them through you. So be ready, son. Don't discount yourself. Don't let the enemy magnify any weaknesses or blind spots or oversights or any failures that you've had. Don't let him do that to you because I'm sustaining you by my spirit, says the Lord. I'm committed to you and I don't see you like you see yourself. I see you as a man of God. I see you as one who ministers powerfully in the Holy Spirit. And so be ready and be confident that I am with you, says the Lord, and I'm going to do all that I've called you to do. And Lord, we pray that that comes to pass in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Do you relate to any of that, Grant? Amen. Praise God. See, and just so simply. And a lot of times I've been praying for somebody and thought I was going to get something and didn't get anything. So you know what? You don't say anything. Don't make it up. Man, that's going to be bad, right? Make something up. No, just don't say anything. Just pray. Thank God. But aren't you glad God wants to speak? I'm going to ask you to do something. We're going to do something real quickly here as we close the service. We a lot of times have people come and stand up here and, oh, maybe 5%, sometimes up to 10% of the congregation will come up and receive a prayer. But I believe the Lord is growing our congregation and saying, I want to minister not just through a few people up here. I want to minister through the body. I want to touch people through the body. And so I'm going to ask us as we close the service, we're going to do something very quickly. We're going to move it right along. We're going to break into some small prayer circles. Okay? And I know as soon as I say that, some of you go, oh, because it's not your favorite thing to do. You'd be much more comfortable coming in and sitting and all facing one direction and listening and watching and so on and worshiping God. But whenever you have to turn and face somebody, even the greeting time for some of you is a real difficult, uncomfortable time. But let me suggest to you that without getting out of the comfort zone that you've been dwelling in, you will not do more for God. If you continue to do what you have been doing, you'll continue to be used by God about at the level that you have been. But it's when you step out to be willing to be uncomfortable, to be put in a position to where God can do more, that God can use you. And so we're going to break up into groups of 3, 4, or 5. If it gets to 6, we're going to split it in half and make it 2 groups of 3. Okay? And then if nobody in a few seconds takes any leadership, one of you just take leadership and say, okay, what's your name, and is there something we can pray with you about? And we're just going to pray. Now, if while you're praying or while somebody else is praying, you sense something, be willing to share it. Be willing to share it, but we got to do it quickly because we're going to have about, 4 minutes for everything. Learning names, for getting requests, and the prayer. So don't anybody, you ever heard of being a ball hog? Don't be a prayer hog. Sometimes you get into a group and one person will just go on and on and on. This is not intercessory prayer. This is not travailing in the spirit time. This is coming before God. We're going to pray prayers like Jesus. The leper came and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. I'm willing, be clean. Done. That's it. I mean, we're going to pray more like Jesus today, and we're going to, maybe not quite that short, but be led by the Spirit in your prayer, and if the Lord shares something with you, quickly give it. But I believe even right now, there are needs that came in before we leave. God, because we're praying, is going to meet these needs. How many of you will believe God with me? Amen. Okay, so those of you that may be uncomfortable, be thou not uncomfortable. Let's all stand together. Come on, get it groups of 3, 4, or 5, not 6. Quickly. Grab hands with those people. Grab their hands. God ministered something that related to you and encouraged you, lift your hand up. Lift your hand up. Look at all across. All across. And think about this, coming to church and knowing that you'll have an opportunity to have your need prayed for. Man, I tell you, that's a powerful thing. Now, let me ask you something. Don't anybody walk away today and think, oh, they're going to, you know, they might do these prayer groups. I'm not going anymore. That's it. I'm changing churches. I'm going somewhere where I can just sit and be comfortable. I know that some of you would be tempted that direction. But I'm going to ask you, let's follow God in whatever He says to do. All right, now He's stretching us a little bit. But let me tell you, it's not only about comfort. Man, it's God ministering through us to other people. How many of you are on board with whatever God's doing with us? And He's growing us up as a church. And do you see what's happening? He's developing a whole congregation of ministers. That's what He's doing. Isn't that right? That's what we're called to do. Whole congregation of ministers. Thank God. Thank God. So let's do this. Before we leave today, just smile at a couple people, shake their hand and say, it's good for you. Come on, tell them. They need to hear it. It's good for you. God bless you. Thanks for being here and have a great day.